Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
I grew up in Chicago, Illinois. My parents still live there. Yes, it's the best. They still live there. My parents have been married for 34 years now. But my dad will still do this thing. We've been married 34 years. But he'll try and, like, sell us on our mom still. Like, I'll just be sitting there and my dad will lean in and be like, "Hey, you know who's a great lady? Your mother." It's like, yeah, we're all on board. We all love mom. You don't have to advertise for her. Though it'd be weirder, I guess, if you named someone else. If he was like, "Hey, you know who's a great lady? Whoopi Goldberg."
That was John Mulaney from his debut album, The Top Part, a track called "You Know Who's a Great Lady." I love that joke so much, and it's perfect for this week because it is Mother's Day week. How exciting! I'm thrilled to have this episode for you guys because it's going to be all about Mother's Day today. And before we get too deep into talking about Mother's Day, I really quickly want to say thanks to all everybody who's been sending messages. I've gotten some really cool emails. I don't know if people are tracking down my email, but hey, go for it. TomATakara@gmail.com. And, you know, if you have a question that stumps me or is something that I think would be interesting for the listeners, I'll read some of them on here at some point. This week we got a tight show, so I'm gonna skip that. But hey, keep the ratings and reviews coming too. I really like seeing those when I stumble upon them. I appreciate it. Coach T, I'm joined by our producer extraordinaire once again, as always. Coach T, how are you?
I'm doing well. This week? I'm out here.
Yeah, you're out here. That's good.
Yeah, we're doing good.
You get your mom something special for Mother's Day?
Nah, man, my mom's dead.
Oh, well, I'm glad I brought it up. That's probably good.
It's all,
you do that to me on Father's Day. Well,
No, we're good. We're good. Nothing to do with no Mother's Day, nothing like that.
Nothing with Mother's Day. Yeah, Mother's Day is going to be weird this year for everybody because it's tough to send stuff. Sending flowers seems dangerous right now.
Yeah.
It seems like a foolish thing to do.
It's not essential.
Yeah, it's not essential. It just feels like, how stupid am I going to feel if I send my mom flowers and she gets it from the, like, leaves or some shit? Like, it's carried off the guy. And it's like, it just seems tough. I don't know. I'm stumped on what to get. But I can tell you right now, one thing that would be fun to do with your mom is to watch this documentary that we're going to be talking about today on the show called Call Your Mother. It's going to be on Comedy Central this Sunday, May 10th at 10 p.m. Eastern on Comedy Central. We both watched this thing. Man, I got to tell you, this really got me in a Mother's Day mood. It's a documentary film exploring relationships between comedians and their mothers by Academy Award-nominated filmmakers Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady. And again, it is playing this week on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 10th. What a great documentary. It features a bunch of comics you already know and love, like Louie Anderson, Awkwafina, Jimmy Carr, Bridget Everett, Fortune Feimster, Rachel Feinstein, Judah Friedlander, Jim Gaffigan, Judy Gold, Jen Kirkman, Joe Coy, Bobby Lee, the Lucas Brothers, Norm MacDonald, Jim Norton, Tig Notaro, Yvonne Orji, Kristen Schaal, David Spade, and Roy Wood Jr. I think that's all of them. And man, this thing was so fun to watch. I saw it a couple times because I kept doing this thing where I would start to watch it just to get a clip, and then I'd get sucked back into it.
Mm.
It's so good. What did you took a look at it? You took a look at it this week, right, Coach?
Yeah, I did. I took a look at it. I thought it was sweet. Mothers and comedians. Yeah, I thought it was really sweet. I'm assuming that for the most part, most mothers don't want their kids being comedians.
I'm glad you said that, because the first clip we're gonna play, I'm not gonna cue it up yet, but it relates to that. And I definitely felt that when I started comedy. I think it's tough. It's very weird business to get into. And I think a lot of these people in this documentary have been doing comedy for 20 plus years. I'm going to talk real quickly about some of the clips we're not going to play, because I only picked a couple clips. I don't want to spoil this thing for people.
Yeah.
Because it starts off and ends off with Louis Anderson, who says he has a lot of stories about how his mom handled him doing stand-up and his relationship with her and with his father. And it follows him around, like driving to his old childhood home and stuff like that. And it's really interesting. I grew up on Louis Anderson, and I remember watching his sitcom about his family. Or it wasn't a sitcom. He had like a cartoon about his family that I loved as a kid. And there's this great moment in the documentary where he talks about how one day he went from doing... They show his Tonight Show appearance, one of his Tonight Show appearances, where he's talking about his weight and his body and stuff like that. And then he says that he had a moment in his career where he shifted to talking about his family. And I really appreciate it. I believe he said this. I hope I'm not misremembering this, but I think he talks about how he goes through a part of his career where he's talking about he's just making observations, and he's also talking about his weight and all that stuff. And then at a certain point in his career, he felt ready to talk about his family. And I really appreciated that, because I felt the same way. My opening... I was very careful about talking about my family to begin with, because you're dealing with people. You're dealing with real people, and especially people who, you know, raised you, or people you have to face. And it's a very tricky line to ride, you know? Like, I remember the first time I said something about my family on stage and my mom was there, and it made me feel so much better that my mom and my brothers approved of it, because I was talking... Yeah. I was talking shit about my stepdad, and that ended up being quite a well of material for me, or it has been. And I was just psyched that I was like, okay, I don't have to worry about them being angry at me for doing this. And Louis talking about that, you have to be so careful about how you do it, and you have to be ready, I think, to be able to do that in a methodical way and talk about, rather than talking about something frivolous, you're talking about something that everybody kind of relates to. And I really like that part of it, that he's talking about when he started talking about his personal life, when he started talking about his mean dad and stuff like that. He goes, oh yeah, a lot of people have mean dads.
That guy was abusive.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
It's mean and it's abusive. Well, the reason why I say this is because I think it's a little bit harder when people have some things they're not proud about, and it's almost like they end up using comedy as, you know, a form of therapy, a form of, you know, finding understanding about their life, and then they start talking about these things, and it's kind of like kind of weird. I've heard a lot of comics kind of mention it the way that you just did.
Yeah, I think it's tricky, because I think there's a line between making it therapeutic for yourself and then trying to be funny, and I think that he was... It's a little bit of both for him, and he's an open wound in a lot of this. And listening to him in other podcasts, I mean, he's very honest about his family life and his childhood, it feels like, and just how hurt he was as a kid. And it's really hard. I hate to frame it as this kind of sad story, because it's really funny. There's a lot of really funny moments in this documentary. Well, it's a great mix of funny, sweet, and also kind of sad at times.
If we're gonna, you know, be accurate with it, I just think some of Louis's background's a little, you know, traumatic. But I don't know if the documentary, you know, touches on that all the way. It just happened to be connected to Louis's story a little bit.
That's true.
It's a funny. Yeah. Like, it's mostly like, hey, aren't our mothers funny? That's what it kind of felt like to me.
Yeah, it's I think that this thing is really thorough and touches upon a lot of interesting relationships and different dynamics between moms and their comedian children. And I think we should get to some of these clips.
Yeah,
let's
hear what you're talking about.
This first chunk I picked, I glued together some stuff for people to hear. It's Roy Wood Jr. and his mom, Rachel Feinstein, talking about her mom, and Fortune Feimster doing some stand-up and then talking with her mom.
I'm sorry about that joke. This song's just not true. Is it true?
Yeah, it's true. I'm not gonna put you in a hole.
Oh, okay.
Why would I put you in a hole?
Thanks. I was beginning to sweat it.
Oh, you free babysitting.
Free babysitting?
Yeah. Free babysitting.
This is the first place I ever did comedy was this room.
In this room right here?
In this room right here. March 21st, 1999 was my first time officially telling a joke was in this room.
So where was I when you were doing all this?
I don't know, at the house, I guess.
You wouldn't even ask for a ride?
No.
Oh, that's right. You didn't want me to.
Because you was tripping. I feel like when I told you I was thinking about comedy, you went to this long thing about you just need to get that damn degree, boy. You don't need to be thinking about nothing else, boy. I never told my mom I wanted to do comedy because I knew she wouldn't approve of it. And I didn't want to hear about it. I was in college at Florida A&M, and I got myself arrested for stealing some jeans at a department store. So I was on probation. And so when you have a parent who thinks that they're going to lose their child to the justice system, to walk into their room and look them in the face and go, yeah, I'm going to ride a Greyhound with meth addicts and tell jokes in Kentucky for $30. And don't worry, I won't flunk out of school. Everything will be fine. I know I just almost went to prison, but didn't. But I got a better plan. Comedy. My mom definitely felt like my priorities were in the wrong place, and she definitely made that clear. Like, what will it take for me to do comedy without you bothering me? Like, that's the thought in my head. It's just, all she talk about is school. Huh. Well, if I make good grades, then she can't say shit about me doing comedy. So I got back in school my junior year, and I made the dean's list the rest of the way.
When Roy graduated, he came home, he took the degree, he threw it on the bed. He says, you can have this. I don't need this degree in my profession. So I accepted it graciously. I framed it and put it on the wall. And from this point on, I guess he must have been right.
These days, I feel supported. You know, my mom, no matter what I've been passionate about, she's always supported it, man.
Oh, you made me feel so emotional.
I'm not being real. I told somebody the other day that if I became a porn star, my mom would click the link just to make sure I get an advertising dollar. Like, my mom, whatever porn I'm in online, my mom would click the ad under the porn just so her baby could get a dollar.
Really?
I think there's a lot of, like, wildly strange, inappropriate, you know, moments with mothers and daughters, and it's just, it's too close, you know, so it's funny. My mom is a bleeding heart liberal. She loves to read a cab driver's name to them. She likes to kind of bite into an ethnic name and overly honor it. It's really alarming. I get very nervous when she's about to read a name tag because she's going to bite into it and she's going to rock on. Excuse me, Sarahanje. What a marvelous name. What region is that? I'm like, he's not a wine. He's a man. Leave him alone. The worst part of his day is that you have access to his name right now. She goes, I just want to say, Sarahanj, that I am so sorry for some of these terrible things President Trump has been saying about Muslims. I'm like, that's not even the good way to say it. That's the Klansy way to say it. You can't say Muslim. That's the evil Klansy way. And she'll be like, we think Muslims are fantastic, Sarahanje. And you and any of your wonderful Muslim brethren are welcome in our country. He's just glaring at her like, I'm sick, you white bitch, get out of my cab. And she's like, cultural bridge built. Who's next? I'm like, that was an act of disaster. She likes it when I impersonate her. She gets upset if I don't do her. And if I don't talk about her, she'll go, where was I? And that's her way of saying she's disappointed. She'll go, I thought I was going to be in your talent show, which is what she calls my stand-up.
But like a little bit of background about my family. My family's favorite restaurant growing up was Hooters. Like we... We loved a good chicken. You guys are like, obviously that was your favorite restaurant. And we loved Hooters because they had amazing chicken wings and they were cheap. And we were fat and poor, so it was awesome. When my mom was dating this guy, I remember one time we were trying to figure out where to go eat one night. And I was like, oh, well, let's just go to Hooters. And he was standing right here beside her. And my mom, out of nowhere, she's like, I have never eaten at Hooters. I was like, what are you talking about? My babysitter was a Hooters waitress. No. No. I was like, you hired two Hooters waitresses to hula hoop for my brother's 18th birthday party. I have no, those were just two girls that loved to hula hoop. I have never been to Hooters.
I'm perfectly fine with the mom jokes that she does on stage. In fact, I'll be at shows, and people at the shows will say, how can you stand this? I mean,
they're not mean-spirited, though.
Are you okay with what she says? I said, yes.
The truth of it is, she would rather me talk about her and her be the center of attention than
true.
Me not talk about her at all.
Oh, that is
the
so
worst
true.
Part would be not including her in my set.
That's true.
Then no one's looking
Although
at
I
her.
Never say include me in something. Anything I do in my life can be on the stage and I have no idea what it's going to be.
She enjoys attention.
Just say I'm a good sport.
You're a good sport.
Thank you.
And you like attention.
Well, that's true.
So that was Roy Wood Jr., Fortune Feimster, and Rachel Feinstein. I love that Rachel Feinstein stuff. Rachel Feinstein's impression of her mom is so funny to me. And you can see her whole special, Only Whores Wear Purple, that's free on Comedy Central's YouTube stand-up page right now. And I think it's unique because it's one of the few times you get to hear the mom who's like liberal get made fun of. I feel like usually when you hear comedians make fun of their parents, it's like, oh, my dad voted for Trump. And it's kind of funny to hear this very specific person who also is funny, but I just don't think you hear that very often. I just love her impression of her mom so much. All right, up next, I'm going to play some clips from Judy Gold's Comedy Central Half Hour and some clips from her in the documentary Call Your Mother.
Why did you pick Judy Gold? You a fan of Judy?
I am a big fan of Judy Gold. I really think that this half hour of hers affected me deeply as a kid. I remember her talking about her mom very deeply. And when I think about a comic who is very focused on their mother, Judy Gold comes to mind first, I think.
Oh, that's very sweet.
There's the moments between her and her mom that we get to hear. She's collected voicemails from her mom from over the decades, and it really provides some compelling footage.
This is why caller ID is the greatest invention of the 20th. I love the caller ID. Do you have the caller ID? Greatest invention. You know why? Because if you hate someone, you never have to talk to that person on the phone again. Anytime I see it's my mother's phone number, I can pick up the phone. I go, help! Put the gun down! Leave me alone! And then I hang up, and it's good for her heart condition, and she really gets on my nerves, and she's really annoyed. My mother's, like, really, really annoying. She just got an answering machine for her house, right? So I called her while she wasn't at home to see what the message was. First of all, it's like 2 hours long, and it's like the first draft of her really boring autobiography.
You have reached 478... I live at 310 Gibson Boulevard. On Tuesdays from 8 to 11:30, I go to bingo at the synagogue to help out. The money is in the top drawer of my dresser in the bedroom. The key is under the mat. Ma, shut up! She's so negative. I can't stand her anymore. You know, I have a 3.5-year-old son who's a genius. And he's the greatest thing. And this is so my mother. About 2 years ago, this is true, he was sitting in the car seat in the back. And my mother was sitting in the front passenger seat in the car. We were going somewhere.
Because my mother always sits in the front passenger seat because she likes to have the leg room. You know, I could have a mute paraplegic friend who needs a ride somewhere and my mother will still sit in the front passenger seat because she wants to have the leg room, you know? Christopher Reeve can need a ride to the clinic and she would tie him to the license plate and let him roll down the street behind us so like, she can get the leg room. Anyway, so she gets in the car and she sits on one of my son's toys, right? And the toy has like all these different colors on it. And this is how negative she is. She picks the toy up and says to my son in the back seat, Henry, what color is this? Blue. What color is this? Green. What color is this? Purple. Puts the toy down, looks at me and says, well, at least we know he's not colorblind. I'm like, why can't you say, wow, he knows his colors, like a normal grandmother would say. You want to know why? She needs to get laid. Now, I never thought I'd say, no, I'm not. She needs a companion. Oh, you're so conservative. I feel like I'm at like a right-wing conservative convention over here. No, I really do. I think she needs to, you know, have a little... Not that I want to imagine my mother having sex. That is the most disgusting thing. Can you try not to move a lot? I have vertigo and I tend to get dizzy very easily. Can we leave some water by the bed? My medication makes me dehydrated. And can my aide stay in the room in case I need to get up at all during... I love New York City. I just love the city. And I live in the greatest neighborhood. I have a great... I know all the people in my building. I mean, my next door neighbor's name is Marjorie. Everyone's like really friendly in the building. Now, several years ago, I leave my apartment, go to my agent's office, call my mother on the phone because it's free. We're chit-chatting. We're chit-chatting away and my elbow hits the phone and we get disconnected. Just by mistake, we just get disconnected right in the middle of the conversation. I didn't call her back right away, and I neglected to tell her I'd been calling from my agent's office. She is completely paranoid. She thinks something happened to me in my apartment, and that's why we got disconnected. When I got home, this was the message she left on my answering machine. It's a real message from my mother. She's completely out of her mind.
Judith, are you all right? Did you fall down? What happened? Where are you? I'm a wreck. I don't understand this. Maybe I'll call Marjorie and tell her to go over and find out. Judith, where are you?
All right, here's the clincher, ready?
So long.
Pieces. She says so long at the end of the message. I gotta go, you guys have been incredible.
Judith, this is your mayor. Do not forget my watch. We have not been separated this long since I was 8. Another week, I will have a nervous breakdown. I need it. Thank you.
My mother passed away in 2015. The last time I saw her, she's in the Hebrew home, and I said, I have to go. I love you. And her normal response would be, you too. And you know, she loved to speak in old English. And I said, I love you. And she said, not as much as I love you. Great, now I have to cry. And I couldn't, first of all, I was in shock. And I was like, you know, what do I say? And I said, no, I love you more. And she said, it's not possible. I said, no, I love you more. And she said, Judith, I'm not going to argue with you. And that was it. I mean, she's so a part of me. No one looks at you the way your mother does. There's nothing that compares with the mother's love.
All right. right, that was Judy Gold. I love that, man. I really love that moment between her and her mom that she explains, and that it still ends funny. It's the last thing is, I'm not going to argue, and it's just such a testament to the relationship and how funny she stayed. And I just really love the insight to their relationship. It's very sweet, and you can tell why Judy Gold's a stand-up comic just from hearing that. But yeah, the documentary is Call Your Mother. It premieres Sunday, May 10th at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central Eastern Time. And you heard just now Roy Wood Jr. and Fortune Feimster and Rachel Feinstein and Judy Gold. But also there's a lot of stuff with David Spade in here that's really funny. Him doing his monologue in front of his mom and her hating, cringing at some of the jokes. Yeah. And then, yeah, Tig Notaro, Jen Kirkman, Joe Coy has a lot in this, Bobby Lee. Just a really great documentary. And like I said, I love Christian Schall's part of it. It's very, her mom is so much like her, too. It's very cute.
Yeah,
it's just fun to see these people's moms, I think. But Louis Anderson, though, it's really powerful. And I love the sentiment at the end of the day is, yeah, call your mom. Talk to your parents while you can. And I think that they did a really good job with this doc.
Yeah, it's like you ever been at school and a mother shows up? And you're like, man, whose mom is that? And you're like, oh, that's Tom's mom. Oh, I get it. So that's kind of how I felt about the show, because you got to see everybody's mom. And you're like, oh, okay. I kind of get it. I feel like I get to know you a little bit more.
Absolutely. I'm surprised that nobody talked in this documentary about their moms being a bigger fan of another comic, because
that's happening
like
in your
that's
life?
That's got to happen, you know? Where, like, I remember the first time we talked about it before on the show, I think, because I played Mulaney. But I remember taking my mom to see Mulaney, and I'd never seen her laugh that hard at somebody live. And I was like, God damn it.
Oh, man,
I loved it, too. But I'm sure that happens, where somebody goes, oh, I wish that you were more like this comedian.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine a world where I would be passionate about something and then my mother would even remotely get it. It's just not even possible. It's almost like, okay, you can't, you know, because you're not, we're generations apart. You're different sexes. It's everything. Life is moving so fast. It's like my mom was doing her thing in the 80s. how could she even remotely understand what I'm doing?
For sure. That's true. But I don't know, man, because sometimes I was really close to my mom especially when I was growing up, but I would share with her all the shit I thought was funny, and she thought it was funny too. So I feel like she does kind of get it, but I think that probably a lot of people are like, yeah, of course my mom doesn't even know what I do. Like, why would she have anything to do with the shit? She's got to raise.
Yeah, being a comedian is like being a stripper or something. What is some other shit?
I don't know about all that. Oh, but you know what's sick? Being a DJ. Get fucked,
exactly.
Coach T.
I would never tell her. We don't even talk about it. If my mom was alive, she couldn't tell you how I made money.
Well, in fairness, I don't know if my mom could describe. Actually, sometimes I find myself just telling my mom how I made money or like how much I made so that she doesn't panic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find myself being very, I just want her to know that I'm okay. So I find myself just saying what I got paid for something.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, I think a lot of people, they're trying to figure out how to put their relationship with their mother into their life. And if you find your life is going in a direction and you don't really know how to put your mother into it, I always tell, like, my wife, she kind of tries to do that. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, your mother just wants to make sure that you're good. So as long as you're good and you communicate happiness, as a matter of fact, at this point, it's the only way your mother has any peace. She has to know you're good. So I call my wife's mother randomly, and I'm just like, hey, we have to communicate that we're okay, because that's what she lives for.
I think that's true. And just to know that they didn't mess up and like have a degenerate kid who's living in a gutter.
Yeah.
I'm sure that makes sense, because I think if I was, you know, if I have kids, I don't want them to be, you know, in a bad spot, because I'll feel responsible in some way. And I think that's probably a lot of it.
It hurts. Like, I. like we come out of our mothers. Like we are literally a piece of our moms. So it's like that's a piece of them. And they want to make sure that they're good. And emotionally, it's not always financial, but it's like, are you fulfilled, you know, a majority of your day? And if you are, I think it's important to communicate that to your mother so that that's, to me, that's the only way that they have peace at night.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. I think that we're all saying the same thing. Call your mother.
Damn. Oh, what an ending. I'm cutting that. What an ending. Together.
Call your mother. Comedy Central, you can see Call Your Mother this Sunday, May 10th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Comedians featured include Louis Anderson, Awkwafina, Jimmy Carr, Bridget Everett, Judah Friedlander, Jim Gaffigan. These are people we didn't play from. Joe Coy, Bobby Lee, the Lucas Brothers, Norm MacDonald, Jim Norton, Tig Notaro, Yvonne Orji, Kristen Schaal, David Spade. It's star-studded, and you get to see some fun moms in this. And yeah, it's really good. Like I said, I watched it twice. I'm probably gonna I might watch it again with my girlfriend's family, because my girlfriend walked in on me tearing up to that Judy Gold shit, and I need to show her why, and not that I'm a bitch.
It might not matter.
What the hell? We got one more clip.
Yeah, what's the last clip that you have there?
So this last clip is from Comedy Central's partnership series with Refinery 29, Taking the Stage. Comedy Central and Refinery 29 collaborated on two digital series showcasing fast-rising all-female comedic talent with distinct voices. Comedy Central and Refinery 29's Taking the Stage is a short-form stand-up showcase and is up on Comedy Central's stand-up YouTube channel now and their social media. This is a clip from Io Edebiri's set, which I think came out last week. You can see the full thing on YouTube. This is just a minute the whole thing is one story about her getting way too high and thinking that she's having a heart attack. And other talent starring in this series includes Chanel Ali, Marsha Belsky, Marie Faustin, Jenna Friedman, Kat Radley, Rachel Sennett, and Tian Tran. But this is Io Edebiri.
We're cruising down the highway. I'm sticking my head out the window like I'm Air Bud. It's glorious. And then all of a sudden it hits me. I am in the most excruciating physical pain in my life. And not just like, oh, you smoked a little bit of weed and you got a little sick. No, like my chest is constricting. I'm sweating. My vision is blurry. My hands are shaking. Like I feel so deeply ill. And I realize in this moment that I am experiencing cardiac arrest. And I'm sorry, people are laughing. It's actually very serious. I have a really serious history of cardiac illness in my family. But even more so, I've confirmed this because I made a Quora account while I was in the car. And I asked, is cannabis cardiac arrest? And no one answered in 2 minutes. And so I knew that that meant that the good people of Quora were leaving me alone to wrestle with my own mortality.
All right, that was Io Edebiri. You can see that whole set on Comedy Central's stand-up YouTube page. And also, I have some recs for you. Just like Netflix does their algorithm, this is the Tom Takar algorithm. If you like Judy Gold, why don't you check out Christy Cello, Jen Kirkman, Aaron Foley. If you like Roy Wood Jr., check out my buddy Rob Hayes. He's very funny. Also, check out Mike Kaplan's new album, A.K.A. Go to his social media for details or grab the album on Apple or wherever you get your comedy albums. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on Stand Up with Tom Takar.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.